This is the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, Episode 81, What to Know About Plan of Care Meetings in Georgia Nursing Homes. The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith. Hello out there and welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
Very interesting episode. Today, we are going to be talking all about meetings that take place between a nursing home resident and the families of the nursing home resident, as well as the various staff members, administrators, and so on and so forth that are geared towards executing the necessary steps to take care of the resident.
Or more simply known as care plan meetings.
That's right. Plan of care meetings is what we're going to be diving into today. And we are not doing this alone. And so, Will, who do we have joining us today?
Today we have Sarah Curatella, who is a registered nurse and a legal nurse consultant. She's been a nurse since 1994, where she started out as a nurse manager, a restorative nurse, and a wound care nurse in long-term care and rehabilitation areas in Alabama, actually. And currently, she is the principal owner of Sarah Curatella and Associates, which are legal nurse consultants. And she's basically dedicated her nursing career to assisting and guiding seniors through many transitions of aging. Her experience spans across settings such as long-term care, short-term rehabilitation, as well as assisted living and specialty care assisted living. Sarah is an ambitious nurse manager who, in practice, combines and applies her over 21 years of clinical experience with her extensive knowledge in geriatric care management, administration, and wound care. So we're very excited to discuss care plan meetings with somebody that has had an extensive history with those types of meetings.
And Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Sarah, as I was mentioning to you before we went to recording, was that oftentimes our clients, they have loved ones that are in nursing homes, and they are perceiving difficulties with staff or difficulties with administration about how their loved one is being looked after. And they're going to have a lot of times questions about, you know, or suggestions about how that care should be administered or things of that nature. And we wanted to have you on to talk about what are some things that they can do and to move forward and be involved in how their loved one is taken care of.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great question. So nursing homes are required to have care plan meetings regularly, and this is a perfect opportunity for family members to be able to attend and listen to what care that the nursing home staff does have documented for everyone to be able to know what to do for their loved ones. So when they come to the care plan meetings, there's going to be nursing that's present. There should be therapy disciplines that are present if they're receiving any kind of therapy services. There's going to be representatives from dietary to talk about their diet and their meals and what they have providing for them, their nutritional status. There's also going to be even care staff that work with them, such as the ones that are on the floor. Usually, long-term care residents stay on one certain hall, and you might have, regular staff that have been working with them. So having the people that are hands-on is really important.
That makes a lot of sense. How about this? If the loved one is wanting just to start from scratch, how would they approach being a part of that plan of care meeting? And is that different than just, any other type of meeting? Like, how would you initiate that?
They would just need to go to their nurse manager for the unit and let them know that they would like to have a care plan meeting. There are MDS coordinators that that usually oversee the care plan meetings and coordinate those times. And so they would then get with them to coordinate the meeting.
I see. And from a logistical standpoint, is this something that happens like in the residence room? Is there usually a conference room? How can you lay out where do people sit? You know, the basics of how that works.
Yeah, usually there is a conference room that everybody joins into, that the family member and even the resident sometimes, if appropriate, can meet and talk with everybody and hear what everybody has to say. And then they have an opportunity to be able to ask questions or even say, you know, I don't think this is going to work for them. This is how things were when we were at home, and be able to share some insight that maybe the nursing staff does not have already.
So, Sarah, generally speaking, how soon after a resident is admitted do they have care plan meetings?
Typically, it's within the first 3 months that they should have one. Sometimes they might be sooner. Mm-hmm. And then it is, you know, every 6 months. And if there's any significant changes, they can also call a separate meeting if someone is having any problems. But the families can go to the nurse managers anytime they want if, you know, they need to sit down and have a conversation. It doesn't have to be when the care plan is due necessarily.
Sure. And just to expound upon what you were describing, it sounds like the care plan meeting is where they can go and they can talk about anything from, hey, mom doesn't like mashed potatoes, to, you know, we want her to have a certain kind of roommate, or what are the doctor's orders regarding her rehabilitation? Is that right?
That's correct. So they'll review their medication list, the reason why they're on medication, any kind of treatments they're receiving, if they were to have wounds or rashes or anything like that. Again, therapy is present. So if they're receiving any therapy services to reach a goal, then they would go over that. And that's the opportunity for families to say, you know, whether they like it or don't like it or want to add something.
Sure. And in regards to families, generally speaking, are there requirements from HIPAA that they have authorization, that they have durable healthcare powers of attorney? I mean, I worked in nursing homes for a long time, like you have. I was a CNA. And it seemed to me that most family members, and as an attorney now, most family members didn't actually go through the steps to become healthcare proxies or guardians. And they seem to have a lot of interaction. But then when the family member passes away, we try to get medical records, you know, they quickly learn, hey, I don't have HIPAA authorization. How does it work for family members to be able to be a part of that care plan meeting?
If the residents are able to say that they want that person to be part of the care plan, I mean, if they're alert and oriented enough to say that,
sure,
then they would be allowed to enter the care plan meeting. But typically, if the resident is not able to, and there is a power of attorney in place, or guardian or whatever, then they can, you know, they can appoint and say and give permission for specific people to be involved and have access to certain information.
I gotcha. What could you tell us again how often these happen? I mean, this is not a weekly thing, clearly, because a nursing home has 100 different residents, depending on the size of the nursing home, several different halls. So is it important how often these happen?
It is important how often it happens. You know, they are required to do them at least quarterly. Well, they have to do them quarterly, and then they have an annual review. So each one of the MDSs is different, but the care plan meetings are typically every quarter.
I gotcha. And how are they communicated to the staff? In other words, they have a care plan meeting and they've decided, well, you know, for Miss Johnson, we're going to do X, Y, and Z from now on after discussing it with her family. So at the beginning of a shift, does a floor nurse, does a charge nurse disseminate that information? How does it get out to everyone, including CNAs, dietary, et cetera?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the care plans would be updated and then they would be, you know, sent out on the floors. They do shift report in the beginning of the shift to update the CNAs and nurses and let them know, you know, what things have changed and have been added and taken away from the care plans. The nurse supervisors that are on the floors throughout the rest of the shift, so day shift, evening shift, night shift, the ones that are difficult for, you know, your administrative nurses to be able to get to, it goes from your nurse manager down to your licensed nurses, and then the licensed nurses, you know, discuss it with the CNAs. Dietary therapy, they are in those meetings. If they do miss those meetings, then a report is given to them so they're aware.
And just so that I understand you correctly, not only is this to be done at least quarterly, but also upon the request of the family. Is that correct?
Okay. They do not have to wait until a specific date to have a care plan meeting. Families have the right to be able to request a meeting anytime they want to discuss the care of their loved one.
And how far in advance do in your understanding, does a nursing home usually schedule a plan of care meeting? So, for example, it's like, okay, we're going to knock out all of our plan of care meetings for this particular wing, you know, on this such and such a week. Is that kind of how it works, or?
No, actually how it works is, depending on their admission date, they develop the schedule for quarterly. And then when they get closer to that time, they'll send out notifications to the families at least a week in advance so that they know that their care plan meeting is scheduled for this day and at this time. So that they have an opportunity to be able to say if they're going to be able to attend or not attend. If they physically can't attend, then most nursing homes will coordinate a phone conference so that at least they can hear, you know, what options or what things are going on. So they have different options to be able to communicate other than physically coming in and being in the meeting. Because, you know, nowadays, a lot of family members do not live in the same area that they have their loved ones in the nursing home. And so it makes it really challenging. So having phone conferences, ability to Skype, things like that, help with that communication.
And what should, is there anything in particular that would be helpful for the family member to bring with them or have available to them, during the meeting? How would a family member prepare for a plan of care meeting in order to get the most out of it for the loved one?
Well, we usually try to tell them to make sure that they make a list of their own questions. You know, what questions do they have of things that they like that are going on that they know that their loved one enjoys, or things that, you know, we can work better on, improve on, any complaints that they might have about, things that they've seen, interactions they've had with anybody, or meals, if they're not enjoying their meals, any suggestions that they might have. Sometimes if it's a brand new resident, you know, they come in and they have all these orders from the physician, but maybe that's not been their medication regimen for years and they have some concerns about that. So if there's specific medication regimens that they've had for a long time and they'd like to see them get back to that because it worked best for them, that's the time to really go through and talk about that as well. And any quirks for therapy or how we work with someone makes it, you know, helpful for us to know that. Maybe they have favorite pajamas they want to wear at night, or maybe they never took medicine in the morning and they've been refusing their medicine every morning and we don't understand why because they can't communicate that, but the family member knows that little quirk about them. So that helps us be able to adjust our care to get them what they need.
Yeah, and it sounds like part of what you're saying, Sarah, is, you know, the family members are going to be advocates for the resident. So it's very helpful that the family has spent time with the resident at the facility so that they know what the resident's complaints are, whether it's, you know, hey, I don't like going to activities at this time. My roommate listens to the television too loud, or, you know, I'd like to go to a later church service or anything like that. I feel like knowing your resident and visiting your family member is always, always important.
That's correct. Or I've never, you know, I've always worked the 3 to 11, my loved one's always worked 3 to 11 shift. She never gets up out of bed before 10 o'clock.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Wow. And are these types of meetings unique to nursing homes, these care plan meetings?
Actually, not necessarily. So assisted living settings also do care plan meetings. They don't have the requirements that nursing homes do as far as significant detail in their care plans. But in general, you know, they are required to have a plan of care that goes over, you know, the needs that the resident has for the care associate to know how to work with them. And it's the same principle. The families are you know, asked to be involved and help develop that plan of care so that we can, you know, provide them with the best services.
Now, Sarah, you're also a legal nurse consultant. So you've worked with attorneys, you understand negligence, you review cases for negligence, you help attorneys determine, you know, where a breakdown in communication happened and why there's negligence or where there's negligence. Do you have a sense of what the main factor is in a breakdown of a care plan? I mean, if they've got a care plan in place and it says that X, Y, and Z should happen, what's generally the problem in executing that?
Communication is a big one.
Right.
Or not care planning the needs appropriately so that the care staff do know what they need to do. So, for example, if you have someone who has a urinary tract infection and they're supposed to, you know, have antibiotics that are given, monitor for signs and symptoms of fever or, you know, increased confusion, things like that. If that's not been documented, it's not in the care plan, then maybe your staff doesn't know that, and so they miss something, right, and that person ends up septic and out to the hospital.
Yeah.
If someone is non-weight-bearing because they've had surgery on their leg or for whatever reason, and it's not care planned, and the care associates aren't adhering to that non-weight-bearing status, and the person falls and gets significantly injured and ends up into the hospital, that's a problem.
Right.
So it's really important that they, you know, are care planning everything to meet the needs, because that's the direction that the staff is using to make sure that they're safe, and that we're observing for, you know, anything that could possibly, you know, cause them harm.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of communication, taking it back to the actual meeting as it takes place, what's the format, and how prepared are the staff generally supposed to be? So in other words, if it's the dietitian, does the dietitian go in there and say, you know, Mrs. Johnson is eating everything pretty good, I'm out of here? Or does the dietitian need to bring in, well, the records that indicate what her blood level or blood sugar level was for a particular shift?
Yeah, now the dietitians do review the residents' records and all of that and make notes and make recommendations throughout their stay. And so they will have their weights over, you know, several months, depending on how long they've been there, to review their weight fluctuations. And yes, their eating habits, if they've been eating 50%, 100%, or if they've had a decline in that, if they were not eating well to begin with, but now they're improving. They do review their labs as far as their albumins and anything related to their nutrition. If they have wounds, then they'll also review need for increase in protein to help with wound healing. If someone needs supplements, whether it's because they have wounds or if it's because they're not eating well. So they do a pretty well-rounded conversation. Yes, they have to be very prepared for that before they go into the meeting to be able to address the issues and talk about the plan.
Gotcha. So it's not, this is not something, if you're the loved one of a resident in a nursing home, this isn't something that they should be, the staff should be going through the motions. That this should be something that is informative and they should be able to respond to questions in an informative way.
That's correct.
Okay. And so in terms of format, like, well, actually, let me ask this then. When the individuals disperse from the meeting, is there like, does anybody take notes? Does the family member get a copy of who was there? Like, in terms of documentation, how does that go down?
I think it might be helpful for people who have not worked in nursing homes, them trying to imagine what this looks like. Mm-hmm. I mean, so they're going in there and it's all this staff. How is it recorded? How is it implemented?
So there is a sign-in sheet to show who has attended the meeting, and each person has to sign their name, what their title is, and that goes around the table. The MDS coordinator is the one that takes the notes to talk about the entire meeting, mm-hmm. to see what was discussed. And what the solution was too. So any problems, what the solution is, or any improvement.
And where does that document go? Does that go into the to the nursing home records of that resident? Does it get handed to the family member?
It goes into the nursing home records.
Okay. And it's largely the MDS coordinator, because at the end of the day, the care plan is going to decide what level of care this person gets, correct? And that's what they're going to use to decide how Medicare and CMS pays them.
That's absolutely right.
Right.
Well, let me ask this, Sarah. Are there any tips that you would give to a family member who, you know, is A, wanting to meet with the staff to go over the care plan, and B, once that meeting has been established and it's in their schedule, tips to improve the experience
and make the most out of it? How do they make the most out of this chance to sit with the staff and say, this is the level of care and the quality of care that I want for my loved one?
The tips that I always give is make a list, mm-hmm. make a list, and do not leave there until everything on your list is addressed. It's kind of like going to the doctor's office.
Right.
You know, you forget when you get there. So make a very good list. While you're coming for your visits to see your loved one, you know, jot down some things that you think of while you're there.
Yeah.
And kind of put it to the side. If it's not things that have to be addressed immediately, and they're things that you want to talk about when you have your meeting. So be observant, listen, watch, and the biggest thing is don't be afraid to share things, because that's the only way that they're going to mm-hmm. know where they need to improve. A lot of times people are afraid to say the things that they're concerned about or not happy with because they're afraid that something bad might happen to them. And we don't want them to feel that way. This is a time to be able to talk about both, you know, good things and things that need improvement.
And with that being said, Sarah, what are some recommendations that you would give if after a few days, maybe a few weeks after that PlanetCare meeting, the loved one of the resident is not seeing the changes that were supposed to be implemented in that meeting. What's the next course of action? Schedule another meeting, or what would you recommend?
I recommend that they ask to speak with them again, and if they're not getting what they need from the nurse manager, there is a director of nursing that they can speak with, and then there is also administrator of the community.
Okay, very good.
Excellent. All right, Sarah, we really appreciate you having you on. It's always helpful to have somebody that has been there, that has worked there, because I know that this can be a frightening experience for loved ones that have never put their family members in nursing homes. And it's like you said, they're scared to bring things up. You know, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. And it couldn't be any more important at the end of the day. It really couldn't.
That's correct. I agree.
Again, Sarah, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been a tremendous value for our audience. And actually, Sarah, if you can, how can people get in touch with you, and phone numbers, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so anybody can get in touch with me at 205-379-8958. And my email is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at sarahc-associates-llc.com.
And what services do you provide?
So as a legal nurse consultant, I choose to be a behind-the-scenes nurse, where I work with attorneys and help them to identify failures and standards of care. And that can be for plaintiff, or I can for plaintiff attorneys or for defense attorneys, and helping them with time, doing some documentation to show them throughout the time, you know, things that have happened, chronological time reports, and giving them some education on what things mean, how that affects the residents, what right. the nursing homes or the facility should have done to prevent this failure from happening.
Excellent. Excellent.
Well, great, Sarah. Well, again, thank you so much. And if your schedule permits, we'd love to have you back on a future episode.
Great. Thank you.
Great, Sarah. All right. Thank you. PlanetCare, care plan, tomato, tomato, not necessarily tomato, tomato. Maybe I'm out of sorts today, because what is today?
Today is National Left-Handed Day.
International Left-Handedness Day. Although I'm not left-handed, somehow that's still throwing me off, I guess.
Yeah.
But wait, no, that's not it. It's left feet. Having two left feet.
Having two
that's
left feet.
That's how yet's you're off.
Yeah.
That's when you say you're off. Not that you're left-handed.
Like, yeah. Like you're stumbling along. You don't right. have any coordination.
That's
yeah,
two left feet. Not
you have
not
two
on left
hands. Left-handed. I don't think that's the same thing. And then what's that movie with Daniel Day-Lewis?
Last of the Mohicans.
No, I think it's My Left Foot.
No, absolutely not. I think it's about having a red shoe. The man with one red shoe?
No, it's My Left Foot. He's.
Are you sure? That's the one where he was so method in his acting that he demanded that the crew pick his wheelchair up and over cords and stuff. Like he wouldn't just get up out of the chair and walk. Because he wanted to stay in between takes. He wanted to stay in character.
That had to be annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I guess with that, I don't even know why I brought. Oh, because I'm out of sorts. I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes clearly. I lose myself in my own segues.
Yeah.
Will actually is saving up to buy a Segway.
Mm-hmm. I still think those are amazing machines.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's going to conclude this episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, episode 81. There are two ways to consume every episode. One is by the audio. You can download the MP3 at our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com, or wherever you get your apps. I don't know. It's like the first time I've ever done this. You can go to Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Pound Podcast Puppies. Anywhere where you get your podcasts, mm-hmm. you can get the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, or you can watch us on our YouTube channel or at our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. And with that, We will see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.